following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
All hands on deck. It's going to be an action-packed summer. Catch Battleship the movie and play Subway Battleship and Zero in to win. Get codes on 30-ounce cups for your chance to be one of thousands of winners daily. Take your shot at some seriously epic prizes. We're talking up to $100,000 cash. So get to Subway to play and see Battleship in theaters May 18th. Subway, where winners eat.
Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. No purchase necessary. N6-14-2012. Void in Puerto Rico and where prohibited. Open to U.S. and D.C. legal residents 13 years or older. For official rules, go to subway.com.
Fram filters can take a beating. At the Fram Proving Grounds, they get the pound test, where they're hit with 100 PSI of pressure every second for 30,000 seconds. This leads to tough, tested Fram filters, like Fram Extra Guard, built to protect three times better than average economy filters. Don't settle for a cheaper filter. Use Fram Extra Guard. Tested, proven, and pounded into shape at the Fram Proving Grounds. Fram, don't fail your engine. See us hit our filters with more tests at Fram.com.
It's 11 a.m., and that means it's time for the Doug and Daddy Show. You know the guys, but let's learn a little bit more about our hosts. First up, Sports Director Doug Duda.
If he were to give you directions, you'd never get lost, and you'd arrive at least 5 minutes early. His legend precedes him, the way lightning precedes thunder. If he were to mail a letter without postage, it would still get there. His blood smells like cologne. The police often question him just because they find him interesting.
Now let's learn a little bit more about Big Daddy Tony Davis.
His charm is so contagious, vaccines have been created for it.
When it is raining, it is because he's thinking about something sad. His hands feel like rich brown suede.
His personality is so magnetic, he is unable to carry credit cards. He never says something tastes like chicken, not even chicken. He's a lover, not a fighter. But he's also a fighter, so don't get any ideas.
Find out what it is in life that you don't do well, and then don't do that thing.
Lucky for us, the guys are good at talking sports. So let's head to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Don't do that thing, Amari Stoudemire. What you thinking? Doug and Daddy Show, good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Tuesday edition, and happy May Day! Yeah, it's just me, Doug Duda, with you today. Couple things. Daddy was frustrated last night and punched the tile out of his shower, but right now I believe he is somewhere prancing around a maypole. So Daddy out today doing some prancing, some maypole prancing on a May Day, and careful if he's in your neck of the woods trying to get your May baskets. So Daddy out today, but on the program, we will be talking with Stu Pospisil, prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald, not only to get his take on the Ravenna situation, but how it compares to other situations, instances, and he'll give us a little bit broader view of what the potential is here for the NSAA and Ravenna, even though the NSAA says this matter is closed. The folks at Ravenna saying it is not. And they're trying to get through graduation. They're trying to get through what everybody else is trying to get through, district and state meets and tournaments and finish up the school year, finals, and concentrate on things there. So we'll be talking with Stu about that. Also, Skip Berry, voice of the Tri-City Storm, is going to join us for a few minutes. He'll give us the latest on where we are in the USHL. We'll have him explain himself how Waterloo beat Omaha. But outside of that, we'll talk about the Clark Cup playoffs and the USHL Futures Draft is tonight. So we'll be talking about that as well and what the Storm can be looking forward to there. You can always give us a call, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776, or you can email us to the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. With any of your comments, thoughts, love to hear from you. Also, want to let you know that tomorrow we're going to be pretty busy with some baseball. Indiana head baseball coach Tracy Smith is going to join us on the program. Also, UNK baseball coach Damon Day as they wrap up the regular season at Regis this weekend. We will have complete Kentucky Derby coverage as the show moves on, as we get deeper into the week. We'll be going to the TVG network. Joe Drape, who we've had on the show a few times from the New York Times, picked Animal Kingdom last year. He was really the only national pundit that got the winner, and he's going to rejoin us. He wrote the book on the Smith Center Kansas football team, Our Boys, that came out a handful of years back that I know a lot of folks, at least in this area, got a chance to look at. He'll be joining us Thursday on the show here on Doug and Daddy. But today, Stu Pospisil and Skip Barry going to join us on the program. What's going on? The NBA is getting attention to itself for bad first-round playoffs, which usually are bad. I'm not saying that the competition hasn't been bad or good, because we've already seen an amazing comeback from the Clippers against Memphis, and we've seen two great basketball games between the defending champion Dallas Mavericks and Oklahoma City. But Miami and Oklahoma City were winners last night. They are both up 2-0. And then you saw Indiana and Orlando split at 1-1. They're headed to Orlando after Indiana won yesterday. Then tonight, Rajon Rondo is out for the Celtics. You're going to have Amari Stoudemire out the rest of the series after punching a glass case surrounding a fire extinguisher. And so tonight, Boston's at Atlanta, Philadelphia's at Chicago, and Denver is at the L.A. Lakers. One game in the NHL, New Jersey's at Philadelphia. Last night, how about the L.A. Kings? What is going on there? The Kings in the West are up 2-0. They came in as the 8th seed. They win the first round series, and they knock out Vancouver. Now they're up 2-0 in the second round over St. Louis. Washington split their first 2 games with New York. So getting a win last night. That's what's going on there. More suspensions, more betting. I mean, yet these athletes are going off their rocker again. Detroit Tigers outfielder Delman Young, a 7-day suspension following his arrest on a hate crime this last week. So that's what's going on in the national scene, the local scene. There's not a whole lot to talk about, but I did find one thing interesting yesterday. Now that spring football's over, you see, it's like the draft. Okay, who's going to win the Super Bowl because of the draft? Well, who's going to win the national championship because of the great spring they have? ESPN's College Football Live has released their top 25 for this college football season, and then Kirk Herbstreit and their crew, starting yesterday, will, over the next month, break down each team a little bit as they head towards that. Nebraska is 17th. Right behind Wisconsin, who is 16th. Here are some teams that are ranked ahead of Nebraska. TCU, 14th. Kansas State, 13th. And then you've got Michigan State, 12th. Michigan, 10th. Ohio State, 20th. According to ESPN College Football Live, the division that Nebraska is in, the Legends, is going to be much, much stronger than the leaders, because they have Michigan 10, Michigan State 12, and Nebraska 17. On the other side, they've got Wisconsin 16, Ohio State 20. And so they have five Big Ten teams. They've got Southern Cal, number one, USC, Matt Barkley. I don't get it. I don't see the Matt Barkley deal. Yeah, he's good, but already projecting him number one next year, don't see it. LSU second, Alabama third, Oregon fourth, and there's Oklahoma again. You know, eventually you've just got to quit putting Oklahoma in your preseason top five, because they're not getting it done. Folks, they're just not getting it done. So we'll see if this is the year. They've got the talent. Now Georgia, they're setting at 6, and Boise State down there at 23. The first non-BCS school, I believe, here would be TCU, ranked at 14th. And that's Boise State's at 23rd. Notre Dame is at number 24 in ESPN's College Football Live preseason top 25. So you might check that out on ESPN television, or, of course, on ESPN.com. Not a whole lot happened yesterday. It's pretty quiet. There's no midweek series today. There's no baseball today, because either you've wrapped up your season, or you're heading into the final week, or like the Huskers, some schools, it is a dead week or finals week, amazingly. So no midweek games in baseball or softball. You will see the conference tournaments. GPAC softball will get going at the Smith Complex in Hastings Thursday, and we will see where Hastings falls. They're actually in a four-way tie between 5th and 8th. That'll make a little bit of a difference how those tiebreakers work out and those brackets come out later today. There is NCAA tennis. The UNK women did avenge their conference final loss to Western New Mexico with a 5-2 victory yesterday at Harmon Park. So they advance to the Sweet 16, which begins in Louisville, Kentucky, May 16th. The men will try and do it today. But as Coach Salisbury told us last week on the show, they're going to need at least an equal effort from when they saw Metro Metro State the opening weekend of the conference season. That gets underway today at Harmon Park at 3 o'clock. Wind could be a factor today with a little outdoor tennis. Also, some other local notes before we get on to our guests here coming up in the next segment. District soccer. Kearney started off with a solid 5-0 win yesterday over Omaha Northwest on the boys' side. Lincoln Southeast, they were scoreless. They upset, if you want to call that, they were the 3 seed. They beat Columbus, scoring 2 goals in overtime to win that 2-0. So Kearney and Lincoln Southeast at UNK tomorrow. The final is at 5 o'clock. Also, Kearney Catholic was beaten by Holdridge. Scottsbluff beat Garing. Central Catholic beat Nebraska Lutheran. Here's your schedule today for Area Boys District. Grand Island, who is now number one in the Omaha World Herald. Lincoln Journal Star keeps him number two behind Creighton Prep. But the only undefeated team in A, Grand Island will host Lincoln Northeast at 5 o'clock, followed by Omaha Burke and Omaha North. And then the winners will meet up in the final on Thursday. The B5 at Doan will be played tomorrow. Hastings will play York, and Crete will play Grand Island Central Catholic. Today, the B6 semifinals in Scottsbluff. Lexington will be playing Scottsbluff, while Northwest and Holdridge will be playing at Baldwin Fields in Kearney, so they don't have to make that five-hour trip out there. And girls today, the A4 opens in Omaha at Westside. Westside's the top seed. They'll play Grand Island at 4. The Kearney girls play Norfolk at 6. The B5 at Hastings. Hastings will play Seward today at 4. Beatrice and York at 6. And then the B6 girls, Lexington and Garing play out in Scottsbluff. And then Holdridge and Kearney Catholic will play at Lexington this afternoon at 4:30 also to save on travel. And a rarity yesterday at the Fort Kearney Conference track meet, Axtell and Amherst tied for the boys' title. Elwood and Loomis tied for the girls' title. Numerous great individual performances at the Fort Kearney and at the RPAC tournament. Cambridge wins the boys, followed by Alma, Paxton, Southern Valley, and Arapahoe tied for fourth. For the girls, Southwest your winner, followed by Bertrand, Arapahoe, and Southern Valley. Good point there. Doug, TCU is in the BCS now, and doesn't Boise State move in the Big East this year, so there's no non-BCS in the top 25. Excellent point. See, it's just like getting ready for the Big Ten. Got to get used to this. TCU going into the Big 12. Thanks for the email to the Dent Popper inbox. It's not even from Daddy. You know, if the big fellow would have been here, who knows? We are here in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet, Chrysler, Buick, Cadillacs, Dodge, Jeeps, Rams, whatever you want. A brand new vehicle, maybe you want a pre-owned vehicle. They've had some great trade-ins as well, and they'll take your trade-in. You can also shop online, thinkmidway.com. You put in the make, the model, the year, or you can just browse the whole entire new inventory, the whole entire pre-owned inventory, and you can see the colors, the mileage, the engines, four-wheel drive. You can see everything you've got about the trucks, the cars, the vans, whatever it is you're looking for, and you can do that before even making the trip to the lot on South 2nd Avenue here in Kearney. Browse through Midway Specials, and they assure you that their discounts, rebates, and offers online will also help you decide which vehicle is right for you. If you're looking for that extra motivation on a pre-owned car purchase, you'll find what you need at Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram in Kearney. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Skip Berry, talk a little hockey, going to give you a chance to be a winner here with Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. But as we go into break here, the Kearney American Legion, as they do every year, have their barbecue and raffle and auction out at Broadfoot Sand and Gravel. It's this Friday night. All the kids are there for the American Legion baseball teams. It raises money for all their expenses and goes all towards Kearney American Legion Baseball at Broadfoot Sand and Gravel, located just south of the Viero Event Center in Kearney. And if you would like a ticket, they're $10 a person. You can contact any Kearney American Legion Baseball member or coach. But we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets right now. Caller 3-888-455-ESPN. We'll get you out there for Friday night. 888-455-3776. We'll help your family, help the American Legion baseball team, and we'll be back after this.
Hi, it's the Herd. Mother's Day is coming up. Now's the time to show all the moms in our lives how much we appreciate the years of putting up with our stuff. Our moms, our mother-in-laws, our wives, make them feel special with a beautiful floral bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. Don't settle for less. Send the best like I do. 1-800-Flowers.com. Moms love the rose and lily bouquet, a stunning bouquet overflowing with pink roses and pink white lilies. Now, it's available only until Tuesday. 1-800-Flowers.com has a very special offer for my listeners. Order the rose and lily bouquet and get a free clear vase for $34.99. That's $25 off the regular price, but only if you place your order by Tuesday. For this offer, Mother's Day offer, 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio mic, upper right side, type in Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin. Or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my name. Mother's Day is coming up. Time to show the moms in our lives how much we appreciate them.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
So, it was a Friday night. One of my buddies wanted to play pool. The other wanted to go grab a bite to eat. And me, well, I just wanted a cold beer and some good entertainment. So, to keep everyone happy, we went to Cunningham's Journal. It's like three places in one. Upstairs is the loft where you can play pool and listen to some good tunes. Outside is the courtyard where they have live entertainment every week. And inside, there are a bajillion TV screens with all the games any sports fan can handle. Great food and, of course, the coldest beer in town. So, problem solved. Everyone's happy. Thanks to Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
In last year's Kentucky Derby, Animal Kingdom made history with his upset victory.
Here's Nero on the outside, and Animal Kingdom is pouncing late for the John Velasquez. It's now Animal Kingdom on the outside, who goes the lead for John Velasquez, and he's going clear by two lengths and running to the line. Animal Kingdom wins the Derby!
Don't miss your chance to hear history. The 138th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 5th.
Right here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a slight chance for a storm late with a high of 86. Southwest winds turn gusty at times around 10 to 15. Tonight there's a slight chance for a storm with a low at 60. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 72.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget, free gifts, free prizes, and we just gave away a pair of tickets to Jason in Kearney for the Kearney American Legion Baseball fundraiser this Friday night. We'll give you a chance later on in the week to win more tickets to that. Again, you can win great prizes like Kearney Raceway Park passes, Royals baseball tickets, golf balls, food from Hy-Vee Deli, Cunningham's. All you have to do is be a member of our ESPN Hy-Vee Rewards Fan Club. You get 500 points just for signing up, and you get extra points for all the other things that you do and taking daily polls and answering our poll question here on the show. You get points for that. You accumulate the points. You win prizes. You're going to be on your computer anyway. Click on to ESPNSuperstation.com and get clicked up today. And yesterday's poll question, did you agree with Tom Thibodeau's decision to keep Derrick Rose in the game with the Bulls when he got hurt in the fourth? Agree 71%, disagree 29%. Today's poll question, what do you make of the Rajon Rondo situation? Being suspended for game two for bumping a referee, is it too harsh, too lenient, or just right? It's just right. That's my vote today. I'm going with just right. You have to suspend him, but it's not a major deal. You can't do it, but it does get on your docket. It's just like meta world peace, okay? Rajon Rondo, this is on your rap sheet. So next time, don't be bumping a guy again because you might get two or three or four, depending on what all is going on there. You can vote on that at ESPNSuperstation.com on our poll question today. Well, the Tri-City Storm season ended in the first round of the playoffs, but the USHL playoffs continue, and the NHL playoffs continue, and tonight the USHL Futures Draft is going on, so who better to kind of cover all three bases in the voice of the Tri-City Storm? Skip Barry joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Skip, are you enjoying any time off?
I think you always enjoy a little bit of time off. I think it's a little bittersweet because you certainly would rather be still in the playoffs, certainly. And I know going out to the second-round matchup between Waterloo and Omaha made me a little bitter. I didn't enjoy sitting through the game. In fact, I got a little angry sitting through the game. And my wife is like, "Do you want to go right now?" And this is basically 2 minutes into the hockey game. So, needless to say, I think it's safe to say that it's good to be maybe away from the game at the moment, but at the same time, certainly would rather be in it.
Well, we commented that let's start with the playoffs. We're down to the end here almost. You got the Final Four going. Waterloo got by Omaha, which I know surprised you and surprised a lot of people. Well, what did they do to find energy again?
Well, I think their offense has come alive. I think, you know, first off, their offense was very good to begin with, and Waterloo's a terrific offensive team, and they also got some good players on the back end, and you couple that with a goaltender that could be streaky at times, and Stephon Williams, all it takes is for him to get hot, and that is a very dangerous Waterloo team. In fact, a lot of people felt that before the season started that the Waterloo Blackhawks were the favorite to win the Western Conference. They ended up finishing third, and so a bit of a disappointing season to some regards, you know, when it comes to placement within the Western Conference. But it's not about what you do in the regular season. It's all about what you do in the postseason. Right now, there's no doubt the Waterloo Blackhawks are certainly very dangerous, and it'll be an interesting series between Lincoln and Waterloo because Lincoln doesn't necessarily have the high-end goaltending per se, but they certainly have the best offensive player in the league going against the best offensive team in some ways in the league overall in Waterloo at the moment. So it should be a very interesting Western Conference Finals between Lincoln and Waterloo. It's going to come down to which team has better goaltending. And I think right now that has to favor, in some ways, Waterloo. As painful as that is for me to say, because Stephon Williams has kind of been a thorn in the side of the Storm since his days with Sioux Falls. But nonetheless, I just have to give the slight edge to Waterloo. They're the hot team right now. And Lincoln, you know, very impressive series win over Fargo, but still, not exactly. I don't think they've been overly tested just yet, and I think it'll be a very interesting series. Keep in mind, though, both teams are relatively physical when they need to be, but there's no doubt that Waterloo, the regular season, had both Omaha and Lincoln's number, believe it or not. So I think Waterloo is slightly the better team, so I do expect them to win, but you never know. The first two games are in Lincoln, and that can certainly favor the home team, you know, to get off to a good start. So we'll certainly see what happens when they start off.
In the East, you've got Indiana and Green Bay, and anytime Green Bay's still alive lately, the last few seasons, they're always going to be pegged as the favorite. Are you surprised by this Eastern Conference final matchup?
Surprised in some regard. I mean, I thought Indiana, you know, certainly could get in there, but, you know, I really felt that Dubuque, if it would have been a different series with the Dubuque Fighting Saints if Zymgus Girgensons didn't break his jaw in the series before. So Zymgus Girgensons did not play in any of the three games against Indiana, and I think that was a big loss for the Dubuque Fighting Saints. I thought Dubuque could have been the only team that might have maybe derailed Green Bay to a certain degree, but I don't think there's anybody better than Green Bay overall. They're the best team. They have the best defense. They have the best four lines in the USHL, and they are by far and away probably the best team the USHL has ever seen, period. And so that's pretty remarkable to see what they've done. They've shattered several records this year. I don't see a team really stopping them. I felt going into the playoffs, it was whoever comes out of the West, they'll play Green Bay, and Green Bay is going to win it all. That's pretty much how I felt before the playoffs started. I do think that Green Bay is still the best team. They can get on you offensively and defensively. They can shut you down. And I think that there's no other team I've ever seen quite as good as Green Bay in junior hockey.
Skip Barry's chatting with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. I find it strange that you can have a draft right in the middle of your, not just your season, but your playoffs, and the Futures draft is going on tonight. But again, after years and years of doing, even before the radio show, I am not really surprised by anything that non-professional leagues do, NCAA, NAIA, any of the semi-pro teams that we've had in the area or the USHL. So explain to the, again, to the folks that don't know a whole lot about hockey but like to watch them play, what goes on with a futures draft?
Well, this year the futures draft consists of the top 1996 born players, so players that were born in the year of 1996, so they're very young, a lot of promising talent. They are the ones who are being selected here this evening through a six-round draft. Every team in the USHL has six picks. They all have to have six picks. There's teams that will swap positions within picks that kind of go to either other deals. The Storm, by the way, just striking a deal, and I'll certainly elaborate on that here in a second. But the whole goal is that you get six young players, much like Trevor Moore last year, Griffin Folk. We got to see Kyle Eastman come up last year. Connor Hutchins also came in for a bit. These are some of the best players in that age bracket, and certainly they can make a contribution to the roster not only up the upcoming year, but, you know, hopefully down the road in 2 years. I expect that the Storm, whoever they end up selecting tonight, probably won't be ready right away like Trevor Moore or even Griffin Folk. I think that they're looking for a guy that's going to come in a year from now to really make an impact. But at the same time, you just never know, because nobody thought that Griffin Folk was going to be coming in full-time with the Tri-City Storm, and all of a sudden Griffin Folk came in November, made a splash with the team in Lincoln, and then basically earned a roster spot for the second half of the year. So there's certainly an opportunity here for the future of the Storm next season to certainly take an impact here in tonight's draft. And part of tonight's draft, just found out here a little bit last night, some details. Certainly wasn't sure if it was going to get finalized. It has been finalized. The Storm had the third overall pick in the futures draft, and they've actually moved down in the futures draft to seventh overall in a trade with Fargo. They also send Youngstown's third-round pick that they acquired in the Soren Janssen trade. So the Storm will send that third-round entry draft pick along with the third overall futures pick to Fargo for Fargo's seventh overall futures draft pick tonight. So the Storm still have a first-round, you know, high pick to certainly take in the futures draft, and the Storm now do acquire a first-round entry pick. So the Storm now selecting in the first round in the entry draft, giving them an opportunity to select the guy that they have scouted and certainly pegged as a guy that they think they can hopefully select with Fargo's first-round pick.
We're chatting with the voice of the Storm, Skip Barry, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Is this assumption right, or is this, statement right? For years that we've heard about this, you've got to go all over the country and scout, and even with as many scouts that are out there, you don't see all the kids, and everybody has a different opinion, but you're not really targeting a position in this. You're trying to find the six best kids and then fill that in as your organization grows and you get into the entry draft. Is that true?
You know, it's a bit of, you know, luck in the barrel, and you're trying to find, you know, the young, promising talent. I mean, last year, Taylor Camerata was selected first overall in the futures draft. Everybody knew he was a pretty good talent and certainly did quite a remarkable job with Waterloo this season. In fact, the young 16-year-old Taylor Camerata ended up having 69 points this year for the Waterloo Blackhawks, and he led the team in scoring. So it's not necessarily that these are kids that are, you know, far out from playing in the league. These are very top-end talent-like players. And, you know, you look at Trevor Moore, and I think Trevor Moore is going to have a terrific season next year with the Storm just because of how well he did here this past season. So, yeah, you're certainly trying to select the best talent. You want to find the very best player. And I think to some degree, if it happens to be a goalie and you think, wow, you know, this goalie is going to be one of the top goalies, you're going to select him. If you think it's a defenseman and if you have to select two or three of them, then you select two or three of them if that's the best available player in your scout's eyes. I mean, there's a lot of scouting that goes into it. It starts all the way back really in September. Your scouts are, you know, off at different events, festivals, select camps. They're watching these kids start to play at a very young age and trying to project them out a little bit. So it's a very different way of certainly scouting kids. You know, it's not like you have a bunch of TV coverage, you know, like the NFL. Of course, you have, you know, every college game is televised. So in the NFL, you certainly have a little bit of an advantage with video. With this, you have to basically rely solely on a scout's maybe viewing of a kid four or five times max. And that becomes a bit difficult because you don't have an opportunity to maybe see his very best games or even, for that matter, his worst. So it's a very tough job no matter what, and certainly a lot of fun to see how your scouting staff does, you know, two, 3 years down the road.
Well, Skip, before we let you go, we talked USHL playoffs. The NHL playoffs, I'm going, hey, pull up Skip's picks because I know mine are terrible. Both of my finalists are already out. Daddy can still win it. He's got the Rangers and the Blues in the finals. Your winner is out. Pittsburgh just got ran over, I mean, in a very exciting series. But your Western Conference was great. You got three of the four out of the first round, and you almost joined me in badness in the Eastern Conference. The Rangers had to win a Game 7. But you liked the Kings. You liked the Kings to get to the Western Conference Finals and play Nashville. And then in the East, you got the Rangers getting into the finals. With what you have seen now and where we're at, any adjustments? Obviously, you can pick somebody new to win it all, but you were on the Kings.
Yeah, I think L.A. is a very good team. I think L.A. has the best goaltender right now, and Jonathan Quick, excuse me. And Jonathan Quick is a goalie who I think has really taken the L.A. Kings really in the last month and a half before the playoffs started to a different level. And I really thought that was a team that was going to be very dangerous, not only in the first round, but certainly in rounds to come. I think that they'll maybe fizzle out, some inexperience there, but they certainly have some guys that have been there. Nashville, I still think, even though they're down 2-0 to Phoenix, the first game played in Nashville, Game 3, I think will turn the series around for Nashville. This is a team that I think has one of the best goalies in the league, and Pekka Rinne, who's up for the Vezina Trophy for best goalie in the NHL. So I think that Nashville and L.A., I still think, are destined to meet in the conference finals. I always felt that one of my two picks would not get to the Stanley Cup finals, obviously that being now Pittsburgh. So I have to really hope for Nashville to certainly get there to make me at least look somewhat decent. But over in the East, you know, the Rangers, I'm kind of like you, Doug. I'm a little glad they pulled things off, but certainly, you know, I'm never really rooting for them, so it's kind of a difficult thing to certainly watch. But you know, I was pretty surprised by Washington's upset over Boston to some degree with a rookie goaltender. That was pretty remarkable. Philadelphia beating Pittsburgh isn't really as much of a shock. I felt that Pittsburgh's biggest hurdle trying to get to the Stanley Cup Finals and win it all was going to be the Philadelphia Flyers. So, you know, it's one of those bad things. Unfortunately, I think the two best teams in the Eastern Conference, you know, outside of the New York Rangers, got matched up in the first round. And I think that's just the tragedy of the playoff system sometimes that, you know, not always how things work out as far as positioning within the conference standings, but you know sometimes the division winners like Florida or Boston get those, you know, second and third seeds just because of the way it's formatted. So it would have been much more interesting to see maybe Pittsburgh play somebody else, Philadelphia play somebody else, and see when those two teams eventually match up. I thought it was a series that would have been much better for the fans later in the playoffs, but maybe it was the best way for the playoffs to kick off because certainly everybody is talking about it nationally as well as even here locally. So, you know, it was a lot of fun to certainly watch that first round, but I still think there's still going to be a lot more exciting hockey to come. I know there's a lot of people jumping on the L.A. Kings bandwagon. I think that they're a fun team to watch, and I think it's going to be a fun rest of the playoffs, and I think it's really anybody's guess right now who's going to end up taking the ultimate prize, the Stanley Cup home.
Well, Daddy commented on the show yesterday. He's adding to his bucket list going to an NHL playoff game. So it must be exciting for the big fella to get that fired up. The USHL entry draft or futures draft is tonight. We're 3 weeks away from the USHL entry draft, and that will be on the 22nd. Skip, hey, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy show, and enjoy the playoffs.
All right, thank you, Doug. Take care and have a good day.
Take care. Skip Barry, voice of the Tri-City Storm, and all of our guests taken care of by our friends at BK. Breakfast served daily. Try a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich, or choose hot cakes served from 6 to 11 at both locations in Kearney, 8th Street and 3rd Avenue near the Kearney Cinema, or next to Walmart on the north side of town at 56th Street and 2nd Avenue, also in Lexington, North Platte, and Cozad. When we come back, Stu Pospisil is going to join us from the Omaha World Herald, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, and more. Stay with us.
It's the Herd. In today's digital world, the most effective companies need to continually adapt to ever-changing conditions, collaborating with clients and coworkers, sending and sharing important documents. All need to be done in real time, securely, and completely under your control. That's why we recommend ShareFile by Citrix. It's secure, and a file-sharing solution built specifically for business offers a full suite of desktop and mobile options that enable businesses to easily collaborate from anywhere, anytime, including an Outlook plug-in option that allows users to easily send and receive files of almost any size directly from your email Outlook. You no longer need to wonder if a file is too big to send. ShareFile Profile is the perfect solution for any business. Right now, a special risk-free offer for my listeners. 30-day free trial, plus double storage. Remember to get my special offer. Visit ShareFile.com, click on the radio mic, enter the name Colin, C-O-L-I-N. ShareFile.com, click on the mic, and type in the name Colin, C-O-L-I-N.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Losing an irrigation system this summer could be costly. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, they offer replacement cost coverage for center pivot irrigation systems on qualifying units. Replacement cost coverage allows you to purchase a new system or parts, subject to policy provisions and reducing the need to search for outdated parts or to wait for used systems to become available. To learn more, contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a slight chance for a storm late with a high of 86. Southwest winds turn gusty at times around 10 to 15. Tonight there's a slight chance for a storm with a low at 60. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 72. Trap all day, play all night. This is the life of a,
the life of a. Go get a, go get a, go get a. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Loper fans, don't forget the third annual Loper Football Backers Scholarship Fundraiser is tonight at the Eunice Events Center at the Kearney Holiday Inn. The evening starts with a silent auction and social at 5 o'clock, followed by a dinner and live auction at 6 o'clock. Tickets are $30 per person and are available at the door. All monies raised go to the football scholarships to help the Lopers as they transition into the MIAA, their new conference this upcoming season. You can see a list of auction items on the Lopers website at lopers.com. The third annual Loper Backers Football Scholarship Fundraiser tonight, 5 o'clock social, then the dinner and live auctions at 6, and that is at the Eunice Events Center at the Kearney Holiday Inn. Help the Lopers as they get ready for the 2012 football season. And Daryl Morris was on with us last week here on the Doug and Daddy Show and talked about how the scholarships have went from 17-ish to 24-ish. And when we say ish, it's not like you give a full scholarship to a kid, although that has happened on a rare occasion. It's usually split up. You give a quarter of it here, a quarter of it there, try to help as many kids as you can. But you're competing with 35, 36 scholarships, and the Lopers not only need to maintain that 24, they need to raise it up to 32 and try and get to that next level. So the third annual Loper Backers Football Scholarship Fundraiser is tonight at the Eunice Event Center. The prep sports editor of the Omaha World-Herald, Stu Pospisil, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. He told me recently that he likes to come on the show when Daddy is not here. And Stu, Daddy is out still, and it's pretty cool here. For 1 hour, he's been prancing around the Maypole. So welcome to the show.
Oh, my. So many jokes and so little time. But it is May Day, so.
Well,
Grandma remembered the kids, so.
Well, there you go. There you go.
It's we celebrated it in this house, too.
You're not going to steal any of their candy, are you?
No, I've got to plant their flowers.
Oh, boy. More work
for
Dad. You've
got to be able to see things grow. It's kind of like watching track charts bloom.
I was going to say that's what I do every day on this show, looking across to the seat across from me here. But
the bloom.
Daddy's looking good, though. He's getting in summer shape. Stuart, two or three things that we want to get to, and I'm not sure which one we'll discuss longer. I think I'll save the Ravenna bit for the end. Let's start with some positive stuff. We're seeing some pretty good numbers in track. Obviously, the kids are probably a lot farther along because of the weather conditions and could get in mid-season shape maybe before the season ever started.
Yeah, you know, I was just working on the girls' charts this morning. It's kind of nice to see after a few years of, okay, you're waiting for one good week of weather and hope they take advantage. We've had several good windows of meet weather. And, you know, I think the middle of the pack has gotten maybe a little stronger as a result. I think your top kids are always going to find ways to put up marks. But I think I'm seeing those cutoff numbers for the charts. I'm pretty sure they're higher in most cases. But have you ever seen such a poor year for high jump?
Stuart, there's 17 events, my man. I don't study every event like you do. I see I look at the positive. I see the good marks that are going up like the pole vault. Holy cow. You got Fenske going. I mean, these kids, we've been talking about this off air. You got kids in the pole vault, especially the smaller schools. They don't even have the equipment when they get to some of these height to be able to take it to the next level. And sometimes that's a little depressing when you get down to the districts and state and know that that's about as high as they can go. But I've been impressed with the pole vault.
Oh, boys and girls. You know, I've got more 10-footers in girls than I can remember. And boys, you know, I mean, to have Jed Fenske continue to add to his Class D record up to 15.3 and a half. Yeah, I haven't researched this, but it's probably been a long, long time, if ever, that a Class D boy has won the gold medal in the pole vault, and he's a threat this year.
Even though it is just the second best behind Stephen Cahoy of Grand Island, who's at 15.6, what mark has caught your eye? What moment in track so far this year caught your eye?
Well, I think, first of all, that 15.6 by Stephen Cahoy, who hadn't pole vaulted in his life until February. You talk about a fast learner. Of course, you know, his dad knew something about leaving his feet and getting up in the air, being an Olympic-caliber gymnast over at Omaha South back when I was growing up. You know, I think that, you know, Claire Nichols has put up some great marks for Millard South. I think we've got some real good boys distance runners. Danny Aldaba from Fremont has all-time chart marks already in the mile and 2 mile. And Jacob Olson from Kearney's a threat to maybe score 24 to 30 points in those three at state, depending how, you know, if he does try all three, and he's got good competition to push him too. So, you know, it's just kind of fun. I'm kind of energized because back here we've got the Metro meet today and tomorrow, and then next week we have districts on Wednesday and Thursday, and I'm so thankful the Class B is going to go to electronic timing. What a long wait that's been to see that. And then it states in 2 weeks.
Let me ask the obligatory question. Is Kearney the favorite in the Class A boys?
No. I think that they're going to see some of their points kind of get spread out. If they had the pole vaulters they used to, I think that they'd certainly be, you know, first or second. Papillion La Vista has Kenzo Cotton, who is certainly the state's best sprinter this year and maybe in a while, and he's only a sophomore. Marshall Anderson they have, Dylan Utter. Anderson's in the distances, Utter's in the weights. And I think you see Central and North, and I think it's going to be a rather low-scoring meet. If somebody can break out and score 70 points, which is, you know, maybe the threshold, and if Kearney can pull some kids up and get sixth and seventh, the change from sixth-place scoring to eighth-place scoring helps teams like Kearney that can fill out, you know, fill out 17 events and have a chance to score in a lot of them. That helps a team like Kearney compared to maybe a team like Omaha North of the past that once won with 5 kids.
We're talking to Sue Pospisil, a prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. I know soccer is not your main beat, but what do you make of the Creighton Prep upset and Grand Island and Kearney being there right in the mix?
You know, I think Prep's still the team to beat. Hats off to Omaha South. They've developed quite a good rivalry with Creighton Prep through the years. You know, Prep was on a long winning streak. Maybe, you know, South was able to poke one in, I think, with 90 seconds left in that match. I think state soccer could be really good on the boys' side, and, you know, the Grand Island Kearney match was great the first time around.
Let's talk about a football note here. Damon Benning is no longer the football coach at Omaha Northwest. Ironically, I think that happened the day that we had him on the show last month. What's going on there? From what I read, it sounds like his mentor is the AD or the soup there at Northwest. Is that correct? And it
No, I don't. Herman Colvin was the coach at Omaha North when Damon was playing at Omaha Northwest.
Oh, okay. But it sounds like maybe the departure wasn't on great terms. And, of course, if you're 0-27, you know, but it seemed like Damon and his guys had at least the fire to try and get that program, which was a heck of a turnaround, a heck of a working in progress there, at least wanted to do things. Is that right, or what do we got down there? Because let's face it, there's a handful of Omaha Metro schools that just seem to never have a chance.
Well, I think the biggest factor that worked against Damon was he wasn't in the building. He was working down in the administrative offices, and I think that you've got, especially if you're one of the major sports coaches, you have to be in the building to have a, and not that he didn't have a good rapport with his players, but you just have to be there all the time. I mean, you know, like he points out, he's kind of a father figure or a substitute father for a lot of these boys, but that happens across OPS and some of the other schools too, with in this age of dysfunctional families. That you know, I know up at Omaha Benson, the coaches have taken to keeping the athletes at school on game day, so A, they'll come back, and B, that they'll get a good meal. But they're forking like $3,000 out of their own pockets to do this. But it's just different conditions in parts of the state. And you know, Damon gave it a decent shot. I guess another thing I'd say about it is that Damon has a lot of irons in the fire. You know, he has you know, he was doing radio and TV gigs, and you know, I think maybe looking back, you know, sometime down the road, he'll maybe see that, you know, hey, maybe I should have cut out some of the extras and devote even more time to Northwest.
All right, Stu Pospisil with us from the Omaha World Herald. Let's get into this Ravenna deal, which obviously is a big, big deal here. We talked about it yesterday. Yeah, it's going to raise eyebrows if something happens in Omaha, Lincoln, Seward, closer to the metro and the big cities. But when it happens in the smaller communities, obviously everybody, it's a story. I mean, there's not as many stories here. Your take on what's going on with what happens at Ravenna?
Well, Doug, with everything that I understand now, it's cut and dried in the NSAA rules. If this student athlete had not changed domiciles, changed living with from one parent to the other, he would have been fine. But if you know, and I think Daddy kind of gave some of the details yesterday, and we talked about off air yesterday, and looked at the, you know, revisited the bylaws of the NSAA, which are enacted by the schools. It's not a staff judgment by the NSAA office. It was a clear violation.
Could the, and again, we don't know 100% what the exact reasoning is, but as we went in 24 hours here since we talked about this on the show yesterday, it appears, and again, this is not official, but it appears that Trace Armstrong and his family did everything properly to sign the paperwork, have it into the state by March 15th. The state understood all this, but then Trace didn't stay in the same parental household, and then it just doesn't matter if you file the paperwork. You automatically have to set out 90 days. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is this a case, and are there cases that could get the NSAA to look at this? Because as I said yesterday, it's one thing to move from Shelton to Kearney or Wood River to Shelton or to Ravenna or wherever. It's another thing to move from Beatrice to Alliance, but the same exact rule would apply. It's easier to move 30 miles than it is 500 or 400, but the same rule would apply. If a kid moved from Beatrice to Alliance to live with a different parent, they would have to set out 90 days no matter what. And to me, the mileage shouldn't matter, and the rule seems a little weird, but obviously there are other reasons. Maybe you can explain why.
Well, consider this, that, okay, let's use two South Dakota towns. Let's say you're in Elk Point, which is right by South Sioux City. Mom lives there. Dad lives at Vermilion. Vermilion's got a very good football team. So their son wants to play for Vermilion. Elk Point's got a very good basketball team. He could go, you know, he says, I want to go back, live with Mom, and play for Elk Point's basketball team. So, you know, by bouncing back and forth, he could be playing for two schools in the same year without this rule.
But
I think that's why the rule's in place, and I don't know all the facts yet, but we talked off air about a situation that has been potentially occurring in central Nebraska, and that, you know, that's kind of why the rule's in place.
Could you put an addendum on there that says one school, one year, one athletic year?
Possibly. You know, it would have to, again, come from the schools. You know, the request for a change in bylaws.
Let's get back to the Ravenna issue here. As I've said, we said on the air, and when I was talking to some of the Ravenna people and coaches and administration and folks involved with all of this that are very close to this situation, I said in 2 years, nobody's going to care and nobody's going to remember. And, you know, you're going to have you've played your 9 football games and you know you won 6 of them. And you went 28-0 in the basketball season and you've got the state championship trophy and all the plaques that came along with that. And none of that's going to be taken away. So do you see this penalty? Is it a severe penalty or not?
Well, it's the penalty that had to be levied. You know, what other, you know, recourse is there? I mean, you know, fine the school. You know, it wasn't a flagrant violation, but it was a violation, and the NSAA penalty for using an ineligible player is forfeiture of the game. So they assign what's in the rules. I think something here to also consider, Doug, and not to throw the Armstrongs under the bus because this is the case that's at hand, but I think it's really disturbing when you start seeing kids that have been in a community for 3 years, decide for their senior year they want to go someplace else. And open enrollment is supposed to be for academic reasons. And I think we've talked on this show before, 90% of open enrollments, in my mind, are for athletic reasons, and that's wrong.
Well, and I can agree with you on that point, so why aren't there I don't know how you levy academic penalties, but every penalty that comes out is on athletics. I've never heard of an academic penalty for transferring.
Well, there's no, you know, what are you penalizing in academics?
Well, I mean, I was just, if it's supposed to, it just seems, you know, crazy.
If administrators are afraid to challenge the parents because they could end up in court. You know, I mean, we know the cases out there of how people have gotten from point A to point B. You know, it's a he said, he said thing. You know, the parents say, I want to do this for this reason, and, you know, you scratch your head, but legally they probably, the schools can't stop it.
Stu Pospisil with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Omaha World Herald for just another couple of minutes. I asked you this off air yesterday. I'll ask you this on air today. Ravenna's stance on this, even if the bylaws say what they say, and I think as usual, if you let some time pass, everything's going to make a little more sense. But on the other side of things, I want to throw the Ravenna side at you. If the NSAA said everything is fine here and everything is good and we stamp it 100% okay, how shouldn't the NSAA have some blame in this?
The circumstances, I believe, changed. When they went and, you know, talked to the NSAA, and I've seen the letter that or the email that was sent out to the Ravenna students yesterday, that they went in February of 2011 and ran this by, and that was with the student athlete in question living in Wood River with his mother. When he moves to Kearney, for convenience or whatever reason, then that becomes the 90-day parental transfer rule. So the circumstances change from when the NSAA said, yeah, this is fine.
All right, Stu Pospisil with us. And I understand, again, the bottom line, and we're not 100% sure on where Trace was living, where the majority of the time, you know, the, one of those cases where they get along. Maybe sometimes he's with mom, sometimes he's with dad. Maybe there is no permanent, but where he is at.
One caveat in here, Doug, is that it's when there is joint custody involved.
Yeah,
okay. Well, because in some divorce cases, okay, mom gets the parental rights, and dad's a weekend visitor and gets a night with the child a week or whatever the provisions are. In joint custody, this is specifically spelled out in the NSAA bylaws, and to our knowledge, this is a joint custody situation.
Yeah, everything's good between the family. It's just, it's happened before. I guess, lastly, compare it to situations that other people have raised an eyebrow about. Scott's Bluff and the golf, Seward, and what's going on with their girls' basketball program. Any time that you know a year ahead of time kids are transferring into the Omaha Central number one boys basketball team, how is this different from some of those?
Well, because the circumstances change midstream. The Scott's Bluff deal, I still don't think was handled properly. I wasn't able to be at the hearing, so I can't really comment on all that was said. I only got the reports. That was a deal there too. That I think there was maybe some deliberate misleading there. But I just think in this case, they didn't look at all the ramifications of the transfer rules. And the Miller North case this year involved a deal. For your listeners, Miller North had to forfeit three football games in which a transfer student from Loganview had left his established residence with his mother in the Hooper area, came to Miller North living with his dad. And complicating that situation was that his father lived in OPS and option enrollment transferred his son into Millard. So that was really a confusing case, and now the boy is back at Loganview running track, which he's eligible to going back to his home district.
And finally, I've seen, and Daddy would have asked you this question, I'm sure. I've seen in every account the anonymous tip. That doesn't set right with a lot of people. What about you?
The call comes in. I don't know what the circumstances were at the NSAA office. They may have just, the caller said, I don't want to use my name. I don't know. The timing certainly is curious because it appears it happened right after Ravenna beat Wood River 106-43 in basketball. I guess I'm also curious why the NSAA did not act on this until its April meeting in providing assessing the penalties and that. Because if this comes during district time, it affects wild cards. Ravenna goes from, let's say at that point, 23-0 to 16-7, changes wild card points, maybe puts different teams in the state tourney on wild cards. As a result, it wouldn't have helped Sutton in this case because they would have lost points for playing Ravenna. But that timing, I think, also is curious, too, why there was such a delay when in other district-type cases, I can remember a case involving Omaha Creighton Prep and a player who allegedly played in a Saturday basketball league, which is outside competition. They acted on that prior to state.
Well, Stu, we've hit the top of the hour here, so we're out of time. Again, I think the bottom line is here is Ravenna didn't intentionally try to do something that they weren't supposed to do.
No, not at all.
I think that's happened with a variety of kids in schools before. But also on the other side of things, it looks like, in retrospect, in hindsight, the NSAA, by what's in the bylaws, is doing what they can and trying to not overlook this and then have this happen again and then have a can of worms opened.
Exactly.
Stuart, thanks for the time. We'll see you soon, and enjoy the Omaha Public track meet.
Yeah, the Metro should be fun. We just hope the storms stay away. So
We'll do our best to keep them out here.
Just keep them in Kansas.
See you, Stu.
See ya.
Bye. Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. And as it is with all of this, folks, I mean, some people know the facts. Some people can't share the facts yet. And I guess that's what makes speculation what it is. We did reach out to just about everybody at Ravenna. I have been in contact with Paul Baronic, the basketball coach, Mark Hudson, the football coach, the athletic director, Paul Anderson, and Corey Fisher, the principal, who was unavailable yesterday due to some school activities. But via email, he says, we appreciate the support you have given for Ravenna Public School. Our administration feels it is best for our school and the student to simply communicate the information we released this past weekend, which is the statement that we read that everybody has seen. We are working to conclude the school year and allow the senior class to enjoy their final week of school. Thank you for the invitation to be on the show, but at this time, we respectfully decline the invitation. Thanks. Signed from Corey Fisher, and we respect that as well. It's one of those cases. If you want to tell your story, we're going to give you that venue and that opportunity to do so. We'll take a break and be back with Troutman's Tuesday Trivia after this.
Hi, it's The Herd. Today, business can take you anywhere. Heck, there's even talk of professional football going international, which is why Regis offers virtual office solutions around the world. For a fraction of the cost of a traditional office, Manhattan, London, or maybe just around the corner, whether you're looking to expand your business into new markets, or if you work from home, a Regis virtual office gives you exactly what you need, a professional business image with clients. That's key. You'll get a prestigious business address to call your own, an on-site receptionist to provide unlimited call answering, and use of meeting rooms and a private office. That's the benefit of a Regis virtual office. You get all the amenities of a full-time office without the expensive one. Call Regis, the new way to work. It's the most cost-effective way to have a business presence locally, nationally, or globally. Find out how easy it is to set up a virtual office. So contact Regis today and mention The Herd to get 2 months free. So go to Regis.com/Cowherd. Regus.com/Cowherd. Or call 800-OFFICES. That's 1-800-OFFICES.
Every Royals baseball broadcast on the Breeze 94.5 includes games within the game, like the Gary Michaels Royals Baseball Quiz. A different question every game. Answer correctly by sending an email to royals945 at kliqfm.com. The first correct answer qualifies for a weekly prize of a $50 gift card to Gary Michaels Clothing in downtown Hastings. Weekly winners become qualifiers for an end-of-season $300 Gary Michaels Shopping Spree. Gary Michaels Royals Quiz. Only when you catch the Royals on 94.5 FM.
We'll see partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a slight chance for a storm late with a high of 86. Southwest winds turn gusty at times around 10 to 15. Tonight there's a slight chance for a storm with a low at 60. I'm Paul Trombley.
Right now it's 72.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Going out for lunch or anytime, stop by Big Dally's Deli in Hastings. Two locations at 801 West 2nd, 610 East South, or in Kearney, top of the hill, 3905 North 2nd Avenue, the home of a bazillion sandwiches. They've added that half pounder. They've added a lot more. There are so many sandwiches. I just flip over my copy here and look at, there's the Philly beef. You can get a BLT for a good warm day like that. You can get a wrap. You can get all kinds of cheese. You can get the dill pickle spirit that they throw in on the to-go sandwich. Love it. How about you want a little tuna salad or crab and seafood? They've got that for you. Basic, ham, roast beef, turkey. I like the old 48, the super combo with turkey, bacon, and salami. Maybe a 33, pastrami and turkey. Daddy says he likes this 21, smoked turkey, roast pork, and bacon. Oh. I think I like that one, too. I'm going to have to try the 21 next time. And when you go, try something new. At Big Dally's Deli, two locations in Hastings, also in Kearney, they've got soup, salads, chips, cookies, fresh fruit. It's all there for you. Try a combo meal today. couple more stories to pass along to you. You can call now for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. And the first correct caller, if you haven't won in 2 months, a $25 gift card to Troutman's. But a coaching change provided the Nebraska women's basketball team to pick up Wahoo All-State guard Sadie Murren for next season's squad. She'd signed with Green Bay last November, but their coach left to Illinois, so she was granted a release from her scholarship, so an All-Stater out of Wahoo coming to Nebraska. Let's go to the phone lines for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
This is John.
John, do you know what Mr. Irrelevant is?
Absolutely. That's the title I got.
I was going to say, is that what Mama calls you? Come on, Mr. Irrelevant. Here we go. Do you know who it is this year?
Yes, it was the quarterback from Cincinnati, Harnish, I think is his name.
God, that's 2 out of 3. Quarterback, Harnish, but he was from Northern Illinois. That's good. You know, the good thing is that's not the question. The first year that Mr. Irrelevant was actually a big deal, that they had all this brouhaha, was 1976, and it went to Kelvin Kirk from Dayton. Pick number 487, a lot more, twice as many as they have now. So, we're going from 1976 to this year. Which Pac-12 school has the most Mr. Irrelevance?
I would have to say it. I'd have to say it'd be UCLA.
Not correct. Try back, John. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Jason.
Jason, which Pac-12 school has the most Mr. Irrelevance in the NFL draft?
Colorado.
What was that?
Colorado.
Out of nowhere. I thought that was going to be a good trick question. Jason, nice get. Colorado is correct. Now, did you cheat and look that up real quick?
No.
It's okay if you did. That's just ingenuity. That's all that is. Yeah, Colorado had 2. California had 1. So you're the winner. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. $25 gift card coming your way. Hang on, and Jeff will get you hooked up. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Man, I thought there'd be a couple of Washington states and Oregon states and even Stanford, for crying out loud. But out of nowhere, getting Colorado for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. The Nebraska Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association is purchasing and developing a site at U.S. Highway 77 and West Denton Road to replace the existing Lincoln Racetrack on Nebraska's Innovation Campus. They plan to develop the site over several years, starting with a simulcast facility in late summer of 2013, then use revenue from that to build a grandstand, one-mile track, and barns for as many as 1,000 horses. That coming in a news release out today. The association has an agreement with UNL to vacate the track at State Fair Park in July of this year, and the simulcast facility there in 2013, although they said they could keep that for one more year. So the association also announced it is closed and will sell one of its 5 existing tracks, Attakad Downs in South Sioux City, to generate revenue to pursue the Lincoln project. So there you go. That's a couple of stories to get us on out of here on the Doug and Daddy Show today. I think we've got through everything we need to get through in this hour and more. We want to thank everyone that called in and won tickets today. We've got more giveaways as the week progresses. And don't forget the 3rd annual Loper Football Backers Scholarship Fundraiser tonight at the Kearney Holiday Inn Eunice Event Center. Silent auction and social begins at 5. The dinner and live auction at 6 as they progress through the evening to make money for the UNK football team. We want to thank our guests on today's show, Stu Pospisil, prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald, and the voice of the Tri-City Storm, Skip Berry. Among our guests tomorrow for Loper Link, UNK baseball coach Damon Day. On Thursday, we have got Tracy Smith, Indiana baseball coach Joe Drape from the New York Times, to talk Kentucky Derby. Those are among our guests coming your way later this week here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a great Tuesday and a great May Day. And if you see Daddy prancing around a maypole, honk. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.